Okay, so the purpose of our meeting today is mostly informational. We cannot hope to solve many technical or scientific problems in 60 minutes, but we want to start this conversation. We anticipate that over the next few years, we will have many more specialized meetings talking about how to optimize LSST observing strategy and how to optimize baseline cadence. So this presentation is only the first step in that direction, and it's mostly informational. I will not go very deep on purpose. I will cover, after I go through a brief introduction, I will cover three main topics. I will briefly summarize what the simulations and OpSim teams have done since about a year and a half ago when we had the last detailed presentation to the SAC. I will tell you how far we got, where we are now. The most important developments are the existence of white paper on observing strategy that provided new guidance to the project, some reorganizational changes in the project that allocated new resources, and that's essentially Owen Boberg who we just greeted. And then I'll tell you a little bit about our draft plan for what we would do over the next 3 years in order to further optimize baseline cadence. There are a number of presentations that were presented to community members, to the SAC, to the Observing Strategy Workshop a year and a half ago, that are available online, that have a lot of details in them, as well as links to other documents about OpSim, about MAP, and everything else that is relevant in this context. And I invite you to go and peruse those other presentations. For example, the one that was presented to the SAC about a year and a half ago covered the following topics. So we discussed why it is hard to optimize cadence. What can we do about it? What we cannot? For example, if you look at the total number of visits, if you don't change your exposure time, then pretty much whatever you do with your strategy, you'll end up with of the order 2.5 million visits. And so you cannot get 5 million or 10 million. Our slew time is already as short as it can be. So these other presentations are useful to take a look at if you haven't worked or read about cadence yet. So we know that despite the fact that our baseline cadence as it exists now produces the number of visits with properties that satisfy the SRD requirements, we do know that for multiple reasons we can think of improving this baseline cadence. We cannot prove that it's the best we can do. There are many lines, indirect lines of evidence that show we could do better, especially in time domain. But one overarching goal is to produce a system flexible enough during the construction period that will be good enough during operations to change our mind and re-optimize strategy. And that can happen for various reasons, ranging from changing science landscape all the way to changing properties of the system and various technical problems that we may encounter. So far, we have been following these optimization directions. This is, again, illustrations of the ongoing work so that you understand more or less what we are up to. There are a lot of proposals to optimize exposure time, which have to do with readout noise, allocation per band, and so on. I will not read every single word on these slides. Many of them are added here for completeness. The most exciting new direction for optimization is along the temporal sampling and in particular rolling cadence idea that I will return to in a few slides. So let me now just briefly go over what the teams have achieved over about a year and a half. We collected several sets of proposed modifications to baseline cadence about 2 years ago. We organized them in several so-called tiers. Tier one is by and large what is covered in chapter two in Observing Strategy White Paper that I will return to later. Tier two is listed here and it's dominated by contributions from the community. There is a web form where one can go and enter proposal for modified cadence. Tier 3 is NEO optimized runs, and then we also have rolling cadence runs that are tier 4 that are not completed yet. We updated baseline cadence from a version that was produced with an older version of the code itself, OpSim 2, to the one produced with a rewritten version in Python, fully modularized, called OpSim 3. I give you some basic statistics on this slide, but there is a 10 or 12 page long report that discusses various aspects of baseline cadence. And there is also math outputs that contains of the other 100 plots that you can peruse later in your leisure. And during that work, we came up with a number of questions that we cannot answer from technical or scientific point of view, where we need input from the community and stakeholders. And in many cases, it's a political call that will be made by the Science Advisory Council, the SAC. So the next few slides just illustrate a small number of a much larger number of questions that we need to answer over the next few years. For example, you can ask, is 18,000 square degrees coverage for the main survey optimal, or should we try to increase the sky coverage? This would mean slightly shallower data set, but the larger area has many good advantages that we might want to pursue. And here is one realization. Internally, we call it Penstar's cadence because it's very similar to Penstar's idea, where they maximize the sky coverage to 30,000 square degrees. And we could, of course, do the same, go to 30,000 square degrees. But the properties of the data set would be somewhat different and worse than if you stick to 18,000 square degrees. And there are many trade-offs to do, and that's one of the optimization directions we want to take. And for example, if you're driven by extragalactic science, cosmology, for example, and you want to maximize the number of galaxies that are sufficiently resolved for weak cleansing science, basically you count galaxies using an effective, which is defined per unit area, and you multiply by the area. So when you look at that an effective, which is typically of the order 50 galaxies per arc minute square, then it goes down a little bit because data are a little bit shallower, but perhaps 0.1 magnitude or so. Then when you ask, are they sufficiently resolved for the cleansing, then that number goes down again because you are now sampling at high air mass, where seeing, delivered seeing is a little bit worse. So this N effective drops down by about 50%. But on the other hand, you can increase area by almost 50%. So the two effects conspire to give you roughly the same number of galaxies, the same total count within 10% of galaxies that are good for weak cleansing in cosmology. So obviously here we have a very shallow minimum that goes from about 18, maybe 17,000 square degrees all the way to 24, 25,000 square degrees. And we have to pick a point in that shallow minimum. And it's a complex problem that you cannot answer right away. You have to consider many different science programs. And that's something we want to undertake with the help from the community. That's just an illustration. I don't expect it to solve it here, but it will take us a few years to get to the final answer. NEO optimization is another beautiful and complex problem that we attacked over last year. Actually, that was our priority for the last year because it was driven by operations proposal that Beth is hard working on, where we needed input from NASA whether they would support operations at some level. And in order for them to answer this, we had to convince them that LSST strategy is good enough for finding NEOs. And indeed, community raised some objections to what we were planning. We needed more detailed simulations and more cadence exploration in order to comment on those reservations. And this big effort resulted in a longish paper that was submitted to Icarus by Lynn Jones a couple of months ago. It's still being reviewed. And then also, as in part due to this optimization effort, in part due to independent simulations by Supernovae group and this observing strategy white paper, we came to realization that rolling cadence is an important functionality that OpSim version 3, OpSim 3 did not support. And so the OpSim team invested a lot of effort over last year and a half to add rolling cadence functionality to the OpSim capabilities. rolling cadence here means that instead of trying to get sampling uniform in time for a given point on the sky, you try to compress it so that, for example, instead of sampling over 12 months for a field that is visible for 12 months, you take all these observations to within 3 or 4 months, and so you effectively increase the sampling rate by a factor of 3 or 4, but then you have it only for 1/3 of time. So if you think about supernovae, for example, you would discover only 1/3 of supernovae, but those that you do discover would have sampling about 3 times as dense as when you have uniform sampling. And supernovae simulations argue that this is a better option than the first one. So people are working on this too. Here is some there are some early results. V4 was a couple of months ago. It's not fully validated, but there was some early work done by Andy Connolly and Rahul Biswas, his postdoc, that showed that we are getting the behavior that we want, that summarized in that bottom panel of these slides, which show that when you separate time in 3 chunks, most of your observations are obtained in 1 of those 3 as desired. We haven't fully analyzed these simulations yet, but that's the direction that we are taking for the next few months. So that was a few slides to give you a flavor what the teams worked on over the last year and a half. So let me now tell you how far we got. Again, just a brief summary. So on the code side, the most important development was beta release of OPSIM 4. And it's not validated completely yet, but with the new resources that we have, we are working on it. The most important additional functionality, again, is rolling cadence. But also there are a number of fixes of earlier problems that were discovered during Tier 1 and Tier 2 simulation analysis with MAP. One example is Western bias. I'll show you a few slides later how it was fixed. There is also a link here to the scheduler development plan. SOX stands for Simulated Observatory Control System. So the scheduler is the same piece of code that will be driving observations in real life as a part of OCS, Observatory Control System. And since we don't have observatory yet, we have to simulate that behavior, like, for example, dynamic model for motion of the telescope. And so that code lives in SOX, and together SOX and scheduler form what we call OPSIM, and OPSIM 4 is the latest incarnation of that code. It will continue to be developed. The last version that is planned for, and you can find details at that link, is V2.2 that should be released by the end of 2020. And that scheduled release in principle drives cadence optimization program 2 that I'll give you more details about later. So when we realized that we needed significant community input to this optimization process, we asked community to help, and as a result, the LSST observing strategy community was formed about 2 years ago. And their main product is Observing Strategy White Paper. This is just about to be released in a week or so. We plan for that white paper to be a living document that we will continue to update on archive, just like we are updating overview paper over the last 8-9 years. And that will be the main vehicle for the community to communicate priorities to the LSST project. So it will not be private emails, of course. We have to do it in a more organized, serious, archive fashion. And so this will be the main tool for doing that. Not the only tool, I'll show you later. There will be other ways to do it. But periodically, this paper will be updated. And the project scientist is charged to synthesize the recommendations from the community to the project and act on the results. And indeed, what I'm trying to summarize in this talk closer to the end is the first time that we did this, that we read those hundreds of pages and synthesized into recommendations for modifying the baseline cadence. And then also it's important to remember that we are trying to construct the tools that will enable us that during operations we can continue to optimize the cadence. After we have real data and we know the performance of the real system, it is very likely that we will want to further modify the cadence in order to respond to differences between what we think about the system now and what the system will actually deliver. And so in order to help writers of white paper as well as ourselves to digest the recommendations in a standardized way, we formed 10 questions about cadence that were provided to all authors. There were about 100 authors who produced 300 pages in that white paper. And we obtained detailed answers to these questions and organized them into main recommendations. And so the long version is written in a document provided to the SAC, which is public. You can find it at the SAC website, I believe. But the two most important conclusions that came from this white paper is that rolling cadence idea is ripe to be implemented. So over the last decade, we argued that uniform observing, uniform in a long temporal axis was optimal. But there are a number of science cases led by supernovae that argue it shouldn't be completely uniform, but on yearly scales, we should compress it, as I explained earlier, and that's dubbed rolling cadence. And then also the community argued that we cannot fully optimize what we do. They cannot tell us what is the optimal way to achieve their science by just providing few dozen simulations that we have now, but that we need many hundreds of simulations in order for them to provide meaningful feedback to the project. One good example is the coverage of galactic plane, where we only have a strawman implementation designed a decade ago by Abhi Saha, I believe, where we have some smaller number of visits along the galactic plane. And there are many proposals why we should change that and improve it. And we asked the community to tell us what would be the best way to do it. The answer was, we can't tell you without actually looking at simulations. We want you to do plausible variations of the baseline cadence, produce few dozen or couple of hundred simulations. Then we will analyze these simulations from the point of view of our particular science and tell you which of these different ways of doing it are bad and which of them are hopefully good. And so the first step is for the project to produce large set of simulations, and then we will get meaningful feedback from the community. That was nicely summarized in white paper and resulted in action on side of the project. So again, this white paper was a very useful exercise, and Phil Marshall, who is leading the effort, who is the first author on the white paper, and who did lion's share of the work of organizing everything and putting together, and issued many thousands of GitHub issues, he deserves a lot of thanks. I don't know if he is on telecom today, I can't tell right now while my slides are being shared, but he deserves a big round of applause. And so given this white paper, in part as a result of these recommendations, the project decided to reorganize and re-energize this effort. And so on the side of the scheduler of the software engineering of producing the new piece of code, we have new hires that are coming on board during this calendar year, hopefully by the end of summer. It's developer, it's perhaps two developers, as well as a scheduler scientist. And then we also decided to have a dedicated postdoc who will work with Lynn Jones, mostly with Lynn, a little bit with me, on cadence optimization, including interactions with the community. So this is the, until now, we did not have dedicated resources for cadence optimization. It was done as part of testing the scheduler development, but there were no resources to do it in a planned, organized fashion. So given these new resources, we made a plan for what we want to do. So let me now spend a few minutes summarizing what we want to do, and then I will open the floor for questions from you. So we do have a number of intentionally vague specifications in the SRD that we didn't want to write down more than a decade ago when the SRD was written, that we intentionally left open to revisit just before we complete construction, and basically the time is now. And for illustration, At that time, we said we want about 90% of the observing time to be spent on the main survey, wide, deep, fast survey, because that was the main selling point of LSST 10 years ago. But then we also recognized that we cannot do everything, and we could optimize a long limited set of axes, and we dedicated 10% of observing time for such programs. The most famous programs are deep drilling programs, but of course we also have Galactic Plane, we have North Ecliptic Spur, and so on. And 10% is basically, it's one finger out of 10. At this time, we now need to do more quantitative optimization, and the time is right to do so. We only have 3 years left. And that's a good example of a question where you need to look at the large array of science programs. There is a lot of politics involved, and that's a question that we cannot answer within the project from the first principles using scientific and technical optimization, but we need to have a body, external body, that will answer it for us, and that's basically the Science Advisory Council. This is a job for SAC, and there are many other questions that I will not go over that are similar in flavor that we will try to answer together with the SAC and community over the next few years. Then we also need the community to help us further improve the set of metrics that we are using to quantitatively assess every simulation as we produce it. That's basically math. I hope most of you looked at math outputs. There is a quite exquisite set of web pages that is being produced automatically for each simulation, and they are very useful in order to assess quantitatively how well we are doing for various science programs. And we already have more than 100 various metrics, but we know that the list is incomplete and we need to add additional metrics. For example, for deep drilling fields, we don't have many specialized metrics. Also for Galactic Plane and so on. And then we are gearing up to produce a few hundreds, maybe even 1,000 simulations over the next 3 years or so. But when you go through the list, it's very easy to get the list of desired cadences that will exceed 1,000 simulations, especially if you want to do multi-parameter search and you go and follow some grid search, very easily you can come to 1,000 simulations. So we need help again to prioritize what is more important and what is less important and make a list that is achievable in 3 years with the resources that we have allocated for this problem. And again, for illustration, here are a few questions that we want to address that we don't have answers for now. Probably most of you know about paper by Andy Gold, where he kindly told us that our galactic plane coverage is not optimal for time domain. He listed a number of science cases that would be enabled by denser coverage of galactic plane, something like extending the main survey across the galactic plane, and it's worth about 10% of LSST observing time. And the question is all the science that he listed in his paper that would be enabled by such coverage, by additional 10% of observing time, is that worth this 10% or not? And that's judgment call that we need answered. And again, we need community and SAC to give us feedback. Another example is, how do you trade 10% improvements that we can measure easily with metrics in math, but it's very hard to put them on absolute scale? If you improve metric for early supernovae, for example, by 10%, is that worth as much as 10% improvement in proper motion metric? That's a hard question, and we have many examples of such metrics that do not have absolute scale calibration. And again, as I said earlier, with OPSIM experiments, we have more ideas than we have resources, and so we need to prioritize, and we need help. So what do we want to do? The first thing we did this year was to separate the software engineering from cadence optimization. The first one is dominated by producing new versions of the scheduler. It's essentially code development and software engineering. The second set of tasks involves communications with the community. It involves different kind of code, math. It involves running the scheduler And then it involves a lot of astronomical analysis of the outcome of these simulations, so that in the, it's significantly different flavor of the tasks. And so we have now two teams working on them. The first set of tasks developing the scheduler is done in Tucson by the telescope and sight team. And it's related to cadence optimization because this blue box that you can see, that's the scheduler, that's the piece of code that would schedule observations. And now we are using it in OPSIM, which is blue box plus green box. Green box simulates observatory control system because observatory doesn't exist yet. And that's what we are using in cadence optimization, it's OPSIM. And the same blue piece of code will live eventually in an observatory control system. And that's why telescope and sight team is tasked with delivering OCS scheduler. So far, the production of OPSIM, that is to say, producing SOCs and binding it to the scheduler, that was done by a combination of systems engineering and simulations team. Simulations was formerly under systems engineering, so it's essentially not telescope and sight deliverable, it's systems engineering deliverable. Here is slightly more detailed slide about how it's organized, and I just put it in for completeness if you want later to look in detail what's in each piece of the code. The key point again is that the blue box is the same blue box in both of these. So the latest version, OPSIM 4, was just released. It's not fully validated yet, but we already know that there are a number of improvements in its behavior. We have better time uniformity. We can now bitwise repeat the simulation, which was not possible before. We have better ways of defining what we want to do, including definition of sky regions. We have much improved sky brightness model, which is essentially ESO sky brightness model that Peter Joachim adapted for LSST use. And there are a number of other improvements. Here is one that I referred to earlier, the fix of the Western bias problem. So the top right panel shows the alt-az projection of all the visits in older baseline produced with V3, Enigma 1189. And you can see that the observations are clumped against western limit in air mass. Once you go there, you get stuck and you never get out. And you would actually want your observations to be produced against meridian, impossible. And that was not done this way. If you look at the middle panel, that's the histogram of our angles for that observation in the top right panel. You can see that there was a strong maximum at about -3 hours away from meridian. And that was fixed in V4. And the bottom panel shows the hour angle distribution for the baseline produced with V4 called Minion 1016. And now we have observations strongly centered on meridian. It does result in just slightly longer slew times. We don't fully understand all the consequences of this improvement. And that's part of the verification and validation of V4 that we are undertaking right now. And as I said earlier, the last release is expected in 2020, early 2021, V2.2. So we still have about 3 years of the code development. So we always have to remember that not all the functionality is available right now. And so our cadence optimization has to be coordinated with the scheduler releases so that the two can be done in parallel and be can anticipate the future functionality from the scheduler. So then to summarize, the first important change that happened this year, in part thanks to Observing Strategy white paper recommendations, is that the project separated software engineering part of the problem and delivery of the scheduler code by the TNS team from the team that will be in charge of interactions with the community and cadence optimization that is formally under project office and includes myself, Lynn Jones, and new postdoc Owen Bobert. Also, I want to state explicitly that we should remember that even though the scheduler team is following requirements document and work developing their plan according to existing requirements document, we still plan and anticipate that as a result of cadence optimization, there will be new functionalities, new requirements that we will want to impose on that team. So we will have to redo that schedule if that proposal is accepted. It will have to be done in an organized fashion following the procedures that we have within the project. And so if there is a new requirement or a new functionality that we would like to have based on the cadence optimization effort and feedback from the community, we cannot go straight to the developers, straight to the TNS team and say, we want this implemented. But instead, it has to be a well-managed process where we will start with a change request that will then trigger requests to evaluate the proposed change from the point of view of the cost and schedule impact. And then if the change control board will agree that this is justified given what we would gain from that functionality, then the team would be instructed to replan their efforts, and that would have then some impact on cost and schedule. So it's an organized process, and that's why we need to have well-controlled input from the stakeholders into the project so that on our side we can plan properly. And I'll get at the in a few slides, I will summarize how you can provide your input. So for the cadence optimization program, which is now independent of the scheduler code production, we have three logical phases. We need to develop additional math tools that will enable us to process many hundreds of OPSIM simulations. We can't anymore have a visual inspection of outputs for a dozen simulations as basically Lynn and I did for the white paper for chapter 2, where we described of the other 10 simulations. Once we go to many hundreds, we need to write code to enable us to do that automatically. Then we plan for organized interactions with the community. In particular, we'll have two calls for white papers, one to provide feedback about deep drilling fields, and another one to provide feedback on mini surveys, which includes Galactic Plain and Northern Ecliptic Spur, and so on. In each case, we'll give few months to the community to respond to these calls. And then the main thrust of this whole effort is to produce few hundred simulations, maybe even close to 1,000 simulations, as a response to this feedback from the community. And again, while we are driven by requirements, we anticipate that we will have a lot of iterative interactions towards convergence with the community, and so there will be replanning done perhaps in yearly increments or so. Here is a tabular summary of what we plan to do over the next 3 years. The first column tells you the plan for the scheduler effort for the versions being released roughly in every 6 months. So that's under TNS team. Francisco Delgado is the lead of the entire software effort for the telescope and site. And he is also one of the designers of the scheduler, so he's still leading this effort. He's hiring a new scheduler scientist and two developers as we speak. The middle column is the cadence optimization effort. That's the plan for myself, Lynn, and Owen. And then the third column summarizes organized interactions with the community through white papers. That will not be the only way to interact with us. So there are other means of providing input. So the main mechanism is this observing strategy white paper. But for officially collecting and delivering input, especially for strategic and political issues, the main vehicle is the Science Advisory Council, which is chaired by Michael Strauss. So formally, all the major changes in our strategy must go through the SAC and be recommended to the project by the SAC. In order to enable less formal discussion, in order to enable questions from the community for us on the project, we will set up a category on community.lsst.org. There is that web form that we started a year and a half ago where you can put concrete cadence modifications proposals. And then finally, I am responsible for this process and I will be happy to receive your emails if you are unsure about where to go, where to provide your input, or what's the proper procedure. Feel free to send email to me at any time. So we still have, yes, we have 20 minutes. Excellent. So this is my last slide where I summarize the main points from this talk. So the most important things to remember are that OpSIM 4 was just released. It fixed a number of bugs. Most importantly, it enabled the rolling cadence strategy. It still needs validation and verification. We are in the middle of it, and hopefully we'll have updates by the time of all hands meeting this August. We are very thankful to the community for the observing strategy white paper. Thankful to the entire community, and especially to Phil Marshall for leading the effort. This white paper already provided very useful guidance to the project that resulted in action on our side. We identified new resources, allocated them, and dedicated them to undertaking a cadence optimization program over the next 3 years. And we plan for community to play a major role in this program. And community will be represented by the Science Advisory Committee in all questions of strategic and political importance. And SAC will be asked to make informed decision about the final observing strategy. As a result of this cadence optimization program, we will develop better understanding of all the trade-offs that we can do with our observing strategy. And essentially, we'll provide a menu of options to the SAC, and SAC will then make recommendation and informed decision what shall we do for the final observing strategy. Again, remember that final observing strategy means final strategy that we will begin operations with, but this strategy will be further modified and optimized during operations. We are developing tools to be able to do so. And finally, we invite your input. We need community feedback in order to properly optimize our observing strategy. And you can provide this input through the white paper, through the SAC, there is Cadence web form, there will be discussion forum, and of course, feel free to send email to me or any other member of the team. So I will stop here.